Thank you. We have a package of appropriation transfers. Madam Clerk, number 22, please.
Item number 22, from the Director, Office of Performance, Strategy, and Budget, Department of Administrative Services, submitting a 2013 appropriation transfer packet for the January 2014 cycle.
Mr. Fudge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. There are 13 fund transfers for 2013. One of them is a receipt of revenue fund transfer in the Department on Aging, recognizing some Medicare and time reporting funding. That was originally in the 2014 packet, but it was the 2013 fund transfer, so we apologize for that. There are two capital receipt of revenue fund transfers, one for $58,000 for a DNR grant related to underground storage tank capital projects, one for $7,500,000, recognizing $7 million in insurance proceeds related to the fire in the courthouse, and $500,000 from the contingency fund. Originally, this would have been $4 million out of the contingency fund, but with the receipt early this week of that funding, those numbers have changed. One unallocated contingency fund of $112,000 to the Election Commission to pay for the two assembly special elections late last year. Six capital improvement fund transfers, one related to a freight grant for East Layton Avenue design phase, and then several highway-related capital project fund transfers to close some out and to transfer some surpluses between projects. One interdepartmental fund transfer of $37,000 to transfer municipal booking fees from the Office of the Sheriff to the House of Correction. And two departmental fund transfers, one transferring $163,127 from fringe benefit costs to salaries in the Office of the Sheriff to recognize savings from the contract with the Deputy Sheriff's Association, and the aforementioned $1 million fund transfer within parks to move surplus wage costs to major maintenance and other operating accounts. And if you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer them.
For the regular packet of fund transfers, would anyone like separate action on any of these items?
Yes,
Supervisor Culver?
I just to clarify to me exactly what's happening with the courthouse fire project, I have the old one with page two, with, you know, the pre $3.5 million payment.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. At agenda setting, the original fund transfer request was for $4 million from the contingency fund and $3.5 million from basically recognizing insurance proceeds that had been received. Since agenda setting, we have received a check for an additional $3.5 million in insurance proceeds. So this would create the same amount of expenditure authority, $7.5 million. $7 million of it would be the insurance proceeds that have been recognized, and $500,000 from the contingency fund that would be reimbursed upon receipt of additional funds.
Do you have a who's getting the $7 million? I mean, I don't need a line by line. Are there how many different companies are there? Are there a lot? I mean, I don't know why they can't wait for the other $500,000. They're getting $700,000. $7 million out of $7.5 million, and why we have to put them in the contingency fund to essentially give the insurance companies an interest-free loan of $500,000. But that money's coming.
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, my name is Don Tyler, Director of Administrative Services.
Julie Ash, Director of Operations.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, we provided you, I believe you've got a copy of the list of the invoices, and that identifies, I believe, most of the general contractor and the subcontractors.
Yes, sir.
So, but
go ahead.
So
you've got the floor.
If you have $7 million instead of $7.5 million, how would you allocate that?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, let's say that we've got $7 million, $4 million in 2013, of which we received $3.5 million in funds from the fund. So that $3.5 million would go toward the invoices for 2013. The $500,000 in contingency would continue to go toward any outstanding invoices for 2013 as well.
My question was, if you didn't have that $500,000, would you do it by the order in which they were received, the order in which the work was done, prorated by the company?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I'm going to see if Julie can answer that.
Ms. Lish?
Universal Restoration Services is our general contractor. When we receive money from the State Property Insurance Fund, then we cut a check to Universal. They pay the subcontractors on based on the invoices that coming in. So
you may know no payments to any of the subs like Peeper or any of the other ones. Everything goes through Universal?
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, based on that, I'd like to separate out this second one and quite mechanically. Maybe Mr. Cady can explain how we could do this. I don't feel the need to dip into the contingency fund at this point for $500,000. If the money is eventually coming from the insurance fund, then we'll get it. And so, Mr. Cady, I don't know if you have some advice on how we procedurally would be able to make that motion.
So, Supervisor, for the regular packet, you would like to vote on that, and then you would like to vote on the courthouse fire-related invoices.
Yeah, I'm looking at 1485, and then if I understand this correctly, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, on page 2, we were initially asked to take $4 million from the appropriation for contingency. But now we receive $3.5 million. Mm-hmm. If I'm saying this right, so we're really only being asked to take $500,000 from the contingency fund. I guess my motion would be to not take that $500 from the contingency fund and leave it there. And then when the next $500,000 comes from the insurance company, pass it along to the university.
Separate action on 2A. Separate action on 2A is what
that's
you're requesting.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, I think what is being asked is to take care of the $3.5 million then wait for the insurance fund to send us additional funds before any of the remaining outstanding invoices paid. Is that correct,
Supervisor Cole?
Yes. We've been assured that it's coming, so someone can assure Universal that they need $7.5 million, they're getting $7 million, the other $0.5 is coming, but the insurance company hasn't cut the check yet for us, but we're 100% sure it's coming, because that's what we've been told.
So, Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I think both of us will want to respond to this, but what we're trying to do is, noted in transportation, is to keep current with our general contractor, so our general contractor can become or stay current with their subs. So importantly, the project can continue. The contractors have not been paid for the remaining balance of 2013, and we have a very vested interest in making sure that we remain current with the contractors. As you noted, the insurance fund has given us assurance. What we're coming to you right now for is bridge funding to make sure that this project is completed and not interrupted. We have with us today, who would be prepared to speak about this, Dan O'Brien, who is the founder and CEO and president of Universal. Julie, I don't know if you've got anything else to add.
Ms. Esch?
A couple of things. First of all is, right now, yes, these are invoices that for work that's already been performed. We need, as we're doing work constantly, we're doing work to continue restoring the power station in the basement. In order to keep that work continuing, we've got to keep the money flowing, essentially. And right now, actually, Supervisor Jurczyk put it best at the TPW committee meeting. We're at a point where a lot of cash has been fronted to the county to get things up and running. But now that there's been a lot of money expended, the cash flow is slowing down as audits are being done of the invoices and that kind of thing. It's not that we're not going to be getting money, but the cash flow is not coming as fast as it has been. And we want to keep these projects going so we can finish this work in the basement.
To illustrate that, we received $2 million on July 16th, another $2 million on July 22nd, another $2 million on August 9th, and then we had a three-month gap when we received another check for $3.5 million, and now we had another three-month gap that we just received the check this week for $3.5. So to Julie's point and Supervisor Jurczyk's point, this is something that's fairly typical but critically important for us to continue to keep our contractors on the premises so we can complete the project.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm not a contractor, but I'm assuming that this Universal Restoration Services is not in such a precarious financial position that if they get more than 90% of what's owed to them, that they can't keep going knowing that the rest is coming. Am I wrong in that?
Yes, you are. You are wrong. As a matter of fact, last week, Pieper Electric was, one of the big initiatives over the weekend was to continue to work on the power supply. We shut the courthouse down. Pieper is very much engaged in that, and they were ready to walk because they had not gotten paid. And the county executive reached out to Mr. Dick Pieper to assure him that we're going to be able to get paid because of the, subject to board approval, obviously, but also because of the check, the 3.5. With me is Dan O'Brien, and I think he can speak to how fragile this relationship is at this point.
Chairman and committee members, currently we have completed work in a tune of $13.5 million. So the big issue we have with the material orders on the electric from the switchgear and the bigger electrical equipment causes us to have to pay Pieper to order to keep the project going. So when we talk about the 90%, we're really at $13.5 million that we have out there, as opposed to we received a little less than $9 million. So this $3.5 million, and I'm not sure what that other $500,000 is part of this, but I would assume for us, is so that we can get this electrical equipment ordered so Pieper can continue on that path to get the courthouse back to pre-loss condition. excuse my throat. So that's the real issue, and what happened is the work has outpaced the money. So from a financial perspective, Supervisor David Cullen, you're correct. We're a strong financial company, but when we're looking at a $2.1 million material purchase just for electrical equipment, that's something that I can't absorb, considering our invoice is really $13.5 million, and I hope that gives some perspective on it.
Supervisor Cullen, then I have a question, and I'll go to other committee members.
I appreciate that, and I guess what I'm trying to get at is, one, there's a couple different issues to me. There seems to be a potential issue of whether or not the insurance companies are even going to cover this loss. We've been assured that they are, and so I think they are, but, insurance companies aren't in the business of handing out $3.5 million checks very readily if they can get an investigator to say that that is not their liability. So I guess I'm getting a little bit confused, and maybe this is my fault, from the numbers that are being thrown around. What's being asked of us today is to provide... Yeah, I've seen that. Is to provide you with... $7.5 million, correct?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, there's approximately $7 million in outstanding invoices, and that's broken down into outstanding invoices of about $4 million from 2013 and approximately $3 million
in 2014. The next one is the next one, right? Okay, just so I'm getting confused.
Okay.
So we have this one, 1485, and maybe this is not something that the speaker... So we're being asked to provide, in this particular document, $7.5 million, correct?
Yes, and I just would like to have Julie Esch break down how we get to that $7.5 million, because it's an accounting...
Ms. Esch?
Chairman and committee members, what we're doing here is two things. One, we're recognizing additional revenue that has come in. There was a $3.5 million payment in November, and then the most recent one that we got just the other day. We're recognizing that revenue that hasn't been done yet. The first fund transfer that set up this capital project, W0150, that recognized the first, it was about $6 million we received within the first month or so after the fire. So this is recognizing that revenue of $7.5 million. And then it is asking for $500,000 to come out of contingency at this point. So that's for...
At this point, at yes. This we point. Originally asked for $4 million.
That's correct.
But this $7.5 million... I'm sorry, Mr. Sir, I forgot your name.
Dan O'Brien.
Dan O'Brien, sorry. The $7.5 million is going to Mr. O'Brien's company, right? Is that correct?
That's
He's
correct.
Universal.
That's correct.
So my question then for Mr. O'Brien is, you know, if we give you $7 million of the $7.5 million, knowing that you know that the other $500,000 is coming because we've been assured that the insurance company is going to pay it, why should the taxpayers dip into their contingency fund to provide the insurance company with a tax-free loan?
I think that's a fair question. I was unaware of where the money was coming from, so what you just communicated to me was new. What the request that we have made was $3.5 million. So I know that there's other expenses on the claim not related to us. There was one other contractor involved that we did not that we were not the general contractor of. But from our perspective, we needed $3.5 million to keep the progress moving. With PEPR and what's on our construction schedule moving forward.
It sounds like you can get that out of the $7
million. I was a little confused as well.
Welcome to our world.
Mr. Chair, Julie's going to, again, clarify that because we actually have invoices from Universal. I think he's referring to 2013. So the combination of 2013 invoices and 2014 invoices add up to approximately $7 million.
That's correct. And so the 2013, all we're asking for out of contingency is $500,000. For 14, we're not asking anything out of contingency. Some of the money that is being recognized, the revenue that's being recognized, the recovery, like the $3.5 million from November, that's already been provided to Universal Restoration Services to provide to their subcontractors. So all we're asking for is $500,000 out of contingency. And we are required by our policy, which says in the letter from the State Office of the Commissioner, is that typically we pay up front and then we get reimbursed. But because of the size of the event, they had been paying us a fair amount up front. They've slowed that down again as they've been trying to go through their auditing process, reconciling invoices, that kind of thing. And now they're basically saying to us, well, now, you know, we've stepped up. Now we need you to live up to the policy. They provided us with actual cash value, and that's why we are now before the committee saying we need to start the cash flow on the county side until we get reimbursed so that Universal can pay these contractors, because we do need to get this work done very quickly.
Well, I have a question with respect to this would be the invoices for expenses up to the end of 2013. Number 12, labor only. I see the averaging of 976 hours per week at $55 an hour, which equals 53,680 $1,000 a week for the months of October, November, and December. I am thinking, but I need a breakdown with respect to the $55 an hour. It looks as if there is some overhead in there.
There is, yes, sir.
In there, but I don't see a breakdown with respect to that, and I would appreciate knowing that in as much as we're very appreciative of the remediation.
Thank you.
Given for whatever happened through the courthouse fire, but I would like to see a breakdown. When one sees $55 an hour for security, I'm thinking there's got to be overhead, but nobody's specifying anything for me or to me, and I need to know that. I personally need to know that. I'm sure other committee members have seen that.
Chairman, would you like a brief explanation, just
please,
for clarity?
Please.
We were asked by the county to provide security, and that security involved even transporting judges, watching every part of the county. Not getting into detail, I know facilities here can explain that. So what occurred was we originally went to the sheriff's department, which we were directed, and they could not do it. Mm-hmm. And then we also went to facilities, and they could not provide it. The fund hires a Crawford & Company, which is a third-party administrator adjustment firm that looks at agreed rates because it's going to be reimbursed by insurance. Crawford, in turn, hires a consultant who is J.S. Held, H-E-L-D, who also, in conjunction with us, agrees to rates on based on criteria of job. So those rates can vary from $25 an hour up until, you know, $100 an hour, depending on the scope of the job. So those rates were agreed to not only by JSL but also by Crawford. As security was viewed as a labor force, but that number, Chairman, does include Universal's burden on that for supervising, coordinating all of those items. We just had a long discussion with Crawford yesterday in an eight-hour meeting regarding all those rates, and that's how G4S and Tradesman International was classified. But they operated as security. I think the misconception is that these are, you know, people making $15 to $20 an hour, and there's a $55 rate, and I can appreciate that.
Yes.
But this was an agreed rate through the insurance company, and the people that were hired, that $33 or the $55 also included overtime as well.
Okay.
So
I would appreciate a breakdown for that.
Absolutely.
That $55 an hour. What is today? Thursday?
That's me.
By the beginning of next week, I'd appreciate such a breakdown so that I can understand, so that the public can understand what's going on.
But
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So with the letter that I did receive before, I got all this information before. Thank you. Plenty of time. So we're looking at the Universal restoration. You're talking about $13 million, which is turning in wasted. So we've got $4 million that we paid already. The $4 million, because then you're asking for seven and a half more.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, I just want to see if we can summarize generally. There's about up to the point where we received the $3.5 million check, which we received on Monday from the fund. And if you add that into what we received previously, we would have received, and I'm going to look at Julie on this because I've got so many numbers in my head, between the 3.5 and the 222, is that a total of $13.5 million? Because we're at nine plus three and a half.
Right.
The letter's saying 12.99.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. It's
Yes, 12.99. Thank you. $13 million through the end of this year. Thank you.
I mean, is this so tough? This has got that we paid for seven, and you're asking for 75 more, and that would be roughly $13 million. So that's what we have costed so far. That's what we owe.
Through the end of 2013, that's correct. That's what it has costed so far.
Okay.
And they, through 2013, prior to the check, they had disbursed to us, reimbursed about $9 million of that $13
million. Okay. And I guess, like Supervisor Collins said, you know, we appreciate kind of the situation here. We all know the game everybody plays. Give me my money now, and I'll pay you later. So, you know, everybody wants their money up front, and, you know, the insurance company has obligations, going to have to pay, but I do understand, I think why we're, well, I'll say why I'm a little wary, is that this is all phase one we're talking about, $13 million. Phase two is the real problematic area when you talk about the electrical substation and who had responsibility there. Is insurance going to pay for that? So that's not even considered here, obviously. That's going to be a major, major expense. That's what's putting the panel back together, and that's what we find about the insurance is going to pay for that or not. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, we have Dennis here that can explain it, but we are well underway in that effort. And that's one of the reasons why for 2014 we're asking for $3 million to cover the costs associated with that equipment between now and the end of March.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm ahead of the issue, so I'm going to wait. Okay.
Please
identify
yourself.
We're not talking about that right now. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get clarification on that, but that's coming next. So I'm ahead of myself here.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, but I just wanted to find that out. It was in the train of thought here. So we're only talking about the $500,000 right now in this one.
That's correct.
Yes. Thank
you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir. Mr. Beecher. Identify yourself.
Chairman and Supervisors, Dennis Teacher, Milwaukee County Risk Management. Thank you for allowing us to talk about this very important topic today. And as we know, we have done some spectacular, some miraculous things in actually a very short amount of time. And yes, we're well into the project. The meat of the project, the big stuff, is right before us. And as Dan O'Brien from Universal mentioned, you know, that we have moved the project faster than we can get the money to go. And probably what makes this a lot different, maybe than other projects, is you know, the size of it. And so, you know, big money and big work, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. It's not this $500,000. It's not an advance. It's the work has been done. We want to be able to keep the work that we are doing current. It's very important. The next phase, the substation phase, it is the very heart of our electrical system downstairs. And some of the things that we have done to save everybody a lot of time and a lot of money to keep in mind is that even though back in July, you know, we had some you know, don't come to the courthouse time, we actually had very little of that. So along the way here, what we have strived to do is minimize, eliminate business interruption. You know, business interruption for our county operations and all of the things that go with it would have been a very, very painful thing. And so with the help of our partners at Universal and their subcontractors, and along the way, me pushing things in the right direction for the right reasons and eliminating a lot of the interruption, we have gotten ourselves in a very good position all the way around. And now I do understand that we do have a responsibility to our constituents in regards to the contingency money that we're asking for. It is, as Mr. Tyler mentioned, it is the bridge that we need just to be current with the work we've already done through the end of 2013. And, you know, the faith that we continue to have with the things that we are doing, it needs to continue, and I respectfully would request that we keep that in mind, all of these things in mind, with this $500,000 amount, because we need to keep going at the same pace we are going. We do not need things to slow down or stop. We are nearing a point that we're going to see, you know, some very positive things, hopefully, here, based upon the activities, the things that we're talking about here today. And, you know, I do understand that it's a leap of faith. to grant this, possibly. However, it does have merit, and the purpose for it is what we all need. We need the proper facilities, we need the proper electrical system, and we need to have it working properly so that we can continue without interruption to our business. And I say that because, you know, along the way here, you see the memos that Don sends out about, you know, how good of a job we're doing. Well, along the way, there are things that we get closer to the edge once in a while because all of this damaged stuff that we're replacing, you know, it has little intricacies, and it has the potential to stop us midstream. And so the one thing that we can do to help, that we can all do, is allow us to keep doing our job, grant the contingency money that we're asking for, and so that we can then show our insurance company that yes, we do have vested interest in this. Now, you're right. There are some investigatory things going on coming up. However, we are positioned very well. And we also have another insurance company involved that's kind of like the backup for potentially things that might not be covered by the fund. But those things all have to be wrung out. And if we allow the work to slow down and track that process, it's going to be a while before, you know, we get off the street, long story short.
Thank you, Mr. Dietrich. Ms. Jensen has indicated that she is emailing to us the revised packet. We're getting that through Lotus Notes. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Supervisor Cullen and Lipscomb.
Yeah.
Supervisor Cullen and Lipscomb. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Go ahead.
Supervisor Cullen yields.
Yeah, I have some questions.
All right, so now that we all have the fourth version, so it's B2 is the item. I think some of the confusion was that. B2. There were three other versions, one of them marked final that was not.
As it relates final. To the amendment?
Well,
okay.
As it relates to the entire packet.
The amendment and the fund transfer item. Packet? I see.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
so
your letter yesterday, Mr. Tyler, you know, it was good. We've got the letter from the fund. We've got the copy of the check, but it didn't have the revised file.
I apologize for that because we
I didn't know what we were voting on.
Yeah, we were working with Janelle. So I know some way or another we got it to the board, but I apologize that amendment of the fund transfer, it sounds like it did not get to you.
Okay. Can I just ask, so now we're really talking about $500,000 instead of 3.5 in this item. Mm-hmm. Where are we with the fund relative to the, I mean, I saw the letter. They're saying you're covered. Where are we with our understanding from the fund in terms of the timing? I mean, the 3.5 came, or the 3 came in. That was a good thing.
Yes.
Great timing. But where are we on the remainder? So is the state taking action? Is the fund going to, you know, pull on the general fund? Or where are they going to get their money? Do we know that they're taking action? I mean, we're being asked to advance money. What's going on at the state level?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, we might all have a perspective on this, and I'm going to fall back to the conversation. I think I brought transportation up to speed on this, that when we met with the insurance commissioner a couple of weeks ago, again, they continued to assure us they would not, could not, chose not to be specific in terms of what that mean. They weren't even specific as it relates to the fact that we were going to get a $3.5 million check on Monday at that point in time. I think directionally what they've been saying to us, and I think it's on the back of this letter, they seem to be breaking it down into two phases. So, again, our sense is that what we're trying to do is bridge. They're going to break it down into two phases. I have to plan accordingly and assume that we might be another 3 months away for another check. because that's the that's what's been happened over the last several months. So if that is the case, and they haven't given me anything specific to that message, but if that is the case, then I need to make sure that we're keeping people on the job, and that's why I'm coming to you for bridge funding. So that's the best I can give you based on a conversation that Corp Counsel and I had a couple weeks ago. Obviously, Dennis and Julie have been in touch with the insurance fund. I don't know whether they'd be able to tell you anything different than that, but I'll look to them and see.
There has been a lot of behind-the-scenes work, both on the county side and on the fund side. The one thing that I've learned, a big takeaway from this, is the property fund is our insurer. They have a reinsurer that we do not have a direct relationship. The county does not with the reinsurer. And so it's the fund and the reinsurer that, while we're going to the state saying, give us more money, the fund, they're going to the reinsurer and working out that relationship and what the money flow between the two of them. So that's why, you know, that's behind the scenes, and we don't know on a day-to-day basis, of course, what they're doing. And although I will tell you that next Tuesday, the Cause and Origin is finally going to start up, and this is it's a bit of a breakthrough, because once this is done, we're hoping, nobody knows how long it will take, but we've been told they're planning for about a week. And after that, a lot of things might start opening up once that investigation is done. And we have our fire investigator on our side who's hawking over that. He's doing a very good job taking care of us on our side. But in the meantime, there are all these things going on kind of behind the scenes, again, mostly between on the fund side. And so we're the ones pushing. We understand that they've got their issues, but we have ours. So that's been a lot of give and take to get to where we are today.
So Julie is absolutely correct. I'm just going to be conservative because we've had a couple trial runs on the date on the cause and origin. So this looks like it's really going to happen, and all of the ducks are in a row, and it was part of my courthouse update to give you. But the caveat would be that is what we expect, and I want to wait and see and make sure it gets done. I think that's an important hurdle for the insurance fund. Again, going back to our conversation with the insurance commissioner, that gets done, and then we start getting closure on this whole project.
For the courthouse fire project, $7 million comes from account 4959 for recoveries, and $500,000 would come from the appropriation for contingencies fund. Are we going to Supervisor Cullen?
I don't know if Supervisor Lipson's done. So this letter that we have from the Commissioner of Insurance, have we been assured that phase two of the claim will be entirely covered by insurance?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, the level of assurance that we have received from July forward has not changed one iota from July to now. And if you want to get Corp Counsel's opinion, you're certainly welcome to do that as well, based on our conversation and based on his observation of the letter, and maybe Dennis, with his a great deal of experience in working with the insurance fund, can also give his view.
Well, I believe it was the Judiciary Committee, we did hear you and Corporation Counsel Barber indicate that there was that meeting at the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance with the commissioner, his deputy, and a third party, and that reassurances were given that funds would be forthcoming. We have this letter. I don't think Mr. Bargren has to speak at this particular time. I just want to move this along.
I don't really feel like you answered my question. It was sort of a yes or no question.
Oh, sorry.
Do we have assurances that phase two of the claim is going to be covered by insurance? Yes or no?
Mr. Chair and Supervisors, I believe personally that we have the assurance from the insurance
fund. That's good
enough
for me.
Okay.
I didn't know what the previous iota was.
Yeah.
So
you know, when it hadn't changed. And do we have any idea how much that's going to cost?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I do not. We certainly, with, again, what we're asking for is the authority in 2014 for an additional $3 million. So if you add all of that up, I believe it comes to about $16 million. You know, and that would probably be directionally a reasonable indicator. I would imagine there'd be additional costs beyond $16 million, but I wouldn't be able to tell what they are.
Thank you.
Excuse me for interrupting. Supervisor Smith?
Well, we've morphed into both of them anyway. When I ask my question, they've been asked now anyway. But the other question I think, Mr. Chairman, is that the key thing I heard was I thought phase two is, and if I'm wrong, let me know, is reliant upon the origin of the fire with the electrical box. So you said that started, and you're confident that we have a fire marshal on board. Did I connect the dots there? Is that where we're going? You're confident that the origin of the fire will say we didn't, you know, we talked about that before. But you said the origin of fire is finally, I mean, that's a question we've had for a while. Say, well, you know, what's the origin? We, you know, what do we know? Well, we didn't know anything. We didn't know. And now we're finally, and look, I appreciate, I was there in the first week when a couple of you were kind enough to take, about three of us supervised, Supervisor Haas was one of the two staff back. I saw an incredible damage. All kind of work had done. I mean, it's the dumpsters, people, and we saw that continuously. So I have no doubt about these expenses and the work people have done and many hours have done. So I have, you know, with that. But again, the forthcoming of information, the problems we've had in that have been documented. The origin was always the situation. So now you're saying you're going to get some clarity on that, that investigation is finally being open. And that seems to me critical on phase two. Question two about, oh yeah, we're definitely getting the money. I thought that's really a questionable part.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, phase two is well underway, and I can provide you, if you'd like, some terrific pictures of all of the good work that's going on in phase two. But that's well underway, and Dennis, if it's okay, Dennis can give you a quick snippet as to what the cause and origin and how that may or may not drive funding.
I'd like to hear that.
Go ahead, Mr. Dietrich.
Thank you.
Chairman, Mr. Supervisor, and Supervisors. Okay, so the deal is this. Every day, a lot hinges on what we do and how we do it, and now here comes cause and origin. Mm-hmm. And so I would just love to have the crystal ball and be able to tell you exactly what you want to know. Here's the cause, here's the origin. Here's the difference. Here's how much it means. However, we haven't gone through it yet. And the significance of this cause and origin is such that all this time has transpired, and because of the enormity of the loss, because of the complexity of the loss, it has taken this long for these insurance entities and all of these involved parties to finally get onto the same page. However, in the process, we have done all that we have done, all to the benefit of all of us. So we have sought to streamline the cause and origin process coming up here. We have our own expert involved, and our own expert is on the same page now with these other parties. And so it's going to be a much shorter process than it was before, because now the stars are starting to line up. Okay, we will have more information after. However, it may not be immediate. What we want to do is work towards a resolve from cause and origin that allows more clarity with the loss adjusting process. You know, who might owe something for this, and who might owe something for that, and if in fact it is the county, what is the exact reason why, and what is the exact amount that we're talking about, and what are the exact items, and how does it relate to the policies that we have? Okay, so on a daily basis, one of the things I do is I strive to make sure that we maximize out, and so does our adjuster, by the way, the amount of coverage that we have in our policy. Well, we actually have two policies. One of them
is related to our energy systems. We have a separate policy for that. So in the process, with our adjusters and myself and anybody else that can be of assistance, we seek constantly to max out the benefit for the county. And so does our adjuster. But there is going to be an amount of analysis, okay, and breakdown of all of that, and it's all hinging on the cause and origin process. So we ask for a little patience coming up here so that we can be more specific and we can have actual written evidence of what it is that the results of that cause and origin are.
Mr. Chair,
before,
I just...
No, before,
go ahead,
please.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Director Tyler. Supervisor Schmidt has a question.
Well, I can't help but make a little cryptic comment here, but it's very good to hear, you know, the process started on the same page. Those are comments we haven't heard before, and you can give some confidence to it. And I'm just glad that, you know, with the state here and with the county executive work with the state, they're close, that it's nothing to do with the county board, because we don't have to worry about, because we would get blamed and we wouldn't get any money, I tell you that for sure. So I'm glad that's the process going on here. Thank you.
Director Tyler?
Yes, thank you. Very brief.
If it's had a lot of conversations.
Mr. Chair,
It's of substance and it adds to the conversation in a substantial way, I'd appreciate it.
I just want to qualify a little bit what Dennis said, because I think that there was some concern about why we don't know what caused the fire. And meeting with the commissioner and his individuals in the office a couple weeks ago, they were clear. They said, we are not likely to ever know, you know, but we've got to do the investigation. So I don't want to disappoint the board when the report says undetermined, because if you take a look at the pictures, it's all ashes.
Thank you, Director Tyler. Again, with respect to this item, we have the rest of the packet, and we also have item B2, which has the $500,000 to be taken from the contingency fund. Supervisor Lipscomb, and I'm looking toward moving forward so we can dispose of item 22 and go to item 23. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Okay, I just had a question that was brought up by the letter from the commissioner, from the commissioner's office, basically saying that you're covered for all these things, and one of them I thought was like business operation. Do we expect to submit a claim for the hours we paid to employees that were essentially off for the time, for that lost time that we had to pay out?
Chairman and supervisors, the answer to that is yes. We've worked in the past and we're working currently. The things that we have that we can record in regards to business interruption related loss, we need to gather and we need to submit, and then that will be subject to the loss adjusting process relative to the coverage in our policy and the coverage that we have for business interruption.
So it hasn't been quantified yet. We don't know what that amount is or a range on that.
I do not have that information yet. Our a lot of our efforts so far, you know, as you know, have been to get things straightened out with the building itself. However, I know that the information is being cataloged, is being categorized, so that we get it in its proper form to do that. But it has not been submitted yet.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Since the committee indicated that members did not have special requests to have anything separated.
Well, I did.
Besides B2?
No.
Well, I understand B2. I'm trying to move forward so that we can have a vote on the rest of the packet, then go to B2, and then move on to item 23. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, Mr. Chairman, I had brief questions about an item not in B2, but rather item C on page 6. My favorite piece of road, the East Layton Washboard. We're... On page 6 of the I'm looking at the. There's nothing in the meeting. Okay, I'm looking at the draft here. East Layton Avenue.
D1.
Okay. Here we go. Yeah, now I'm in the correct document. This is on page 7. Okay. Just wanted to be clear that I see Mr. Wonsack has joined us. Thank you, sir. So the diamond grinding that we've put a lot of, you guys are, I know you're tired of hearing about this. So.
Yes. That's all right. Go ahead.
But I want to make
go
sure.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
I want to make
you're
sure
a member of this committee. Yeah. Go ahead.
And the taxpayers want to know, will that grinding happen? Because they look forward to that happening. When will it happen? And then there's another transfer, I believe this is the freight grant, that would be for the resurfacing of East Layton between Howell to Pennsylvania Avenue.
Is the magic word yet?
Eight.
Yeah,
last word.
Magic word.
Mr. Weinstein, can you tell the chairman what's going on here, sir?
Mr. Weinstein, identify yourself. Mr. Martin, please do the same.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Clark Wontok, Director of Highway Operations. The diamond grinding project that Supervisor Haas mentions is not a part of this file. It's a separate project that's going on that was funded for design. The state is actually funding 100% of the diamond grinding project. It was let to bid last year. The bids were excessive. So the state is rebidding that project in their bidding process in February. What's in front of you now is the creation of a freight grant that follows that diamond grinding project with a resurfacing of East Layton Avenue. And what's in front of you is to fund the design portion of that resurfacing project that would take place in 2015. The diamond grinding would still go forward in 2014, provided that the bids received by the state are appropriate. It also follows with the design that then we will be, department will be requesting the construction funding in the 2015 capital program to again go forward with the resurfacing of East Layton Avenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the resurfacing would be a new asphalt top?
Correct, with curb and gutter and sidewalk as necessary.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Weintock and I have been in discussion with the Gateway to Milwaukee, which tends to the area around the airport.
Okay.
For beautification. We're talking about streetscaping, beautification, rainwater absorption. We recently put in requests about adding bike trails, bike lanes along the state network. So I just wanted to get that on record that this is all happening. And thank you for your notes, Mr.
Thank you. Mr. Martin, identify yourself.
James Martin, Director of Operations, Department of Transportation.
Did you want to add something, anything?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions regarding the rest of the packet? Supervisor Jersey.
I'm just wondering how long we're going to be driving over the diamond grind. As nice as diamond sounds, it's probably going to be worse than the washboard. How long will we be driving on the diamond grind?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, the diamond grinding actually would be a correction that could last a couple years. There's several projects that the state has done that
to
smooth the ride, so it actually smooths it out as opposed to making it a problem.
Well, they did it on College.
Correct.
Just the diamond grind before they put the asphalt over, and that's a pretty rough ride.
Right. And I understand the question. Actually, there are situations where they don't resurface over the diamond grinding, that they just leave it as a diamond grinding.
So you're telling me it's going to be a better drive after they do that?
Definitely. That's the purpose behind the state doing it.
All right.
Thank you.
On the balance?
On the balance. Any more? Any other comments on the balance of the packet besides item B2?
Thank you.
If not, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on the balance of item number 22's packet, except for item B2.
On the balance, Supervisor Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jersic?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to adopt the balance of item number 22 prevails.
For for separate action item B2.
Mr. Chair?
Supervisor Cohen.
In talking to Mr. Cady, I thought we, I don't know if we can do a verbal amendment to have it be $7 million and not take the $500,000 from the contingency fund. That would be my motion if that's appropriate or however the committee needs it done.
Mr. Cady.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, the process is when there's a fund transfer that's before you, and you would like to modify it or amend it, as Supervisor Cullen is suggesting, certainly you can do that, and that will then be forwarded to the county board to be voted on, and then, of course, the county executive would have a chance to review the file afterwards. And again, fund transfers are usually a little different because the county executive approves them in advance. So, but when the board takes a separate, different action, the county executive would have a chance to review it at the end. So, if it's the pleasure of the supervisor, he's suggesting amending, I believe, the other capital outlay from $7.5 million to $7 million, and then changing and deleting the appropriation for contingencies line.
That would be it. And, Mr. Chairman, you know, I got a little bit more confused as we went along, because at first we heard from Mr. Tyler that Universal needed this money, and it seemed like Mr. O'Brien, the star witness, came and said, well, we're getting $3.5 million, we're fine. And then at first we were told, well, Universal is the only contractor. And then when Mr. O'Brien said that, there seemed to be an indication, well, we need that because there's other people that have to be paid. So, you know, the money's coming. Tell the contractors the money's coming, the insurance company said they're paying, and the taxpayers don't have to float the insurance company's tax an interest-free loan, in my mind, but vote how you wish.
Okay. The motion is to change the appropriation from $7.5 million to $7 million, and leave the $500,000 into the contingency fund. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
No.
Romo West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
No.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
No.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
5 ayes, 4 noes. The motion prevails.
Thank you. Item number 23, please.